Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hello and welcome back to The Real Arsenal Deal. This is Rav here, as always, your host. How is everyone today? I hope wherever you are in the world, you are well. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am recording this on a Thursday afternoon here in Melbourne, Australian time, on a sweltering hot day, 37 degrees outside at the moment. And I had a bit of time, so I'm going to be covering a few topics today. Arsenal finally have a week off, by the way. It's been an unusually quiet week. Normally, if you're familiar with my show, you've seen I'm pumping out 2-3 episodes a week because Arsenal are playing two to three times a week. So this is a bit of a welcome breather, and I think the squad definitely needs it as well as we look to reset and recharge again. And it's just an unrelenting schedule upcoming. So a week of respite here is absolute gold. So for those of you listening on audio, don't worry. I will read out the agenda for today, or the topics that I'm going to be covering today. I'm going to start off with some reflection on Wolves. I've already mentioned the week off, but I'll discuss that in a bit further detail. The Ben White injury, EFL Cup draw, and Everton preview, and I'll have a crack at a lineup prediction, which I'm absolutely certain I'm going to get wrong. So firstly, just a quick thank you to all of my recent new followers on audio and YouTube. I greatly appreciate you being here. It's been great. It's been a fun ride doing this. I'm approaching 12 months now of podcasting. A quick recap reintroduction to myself. Please bear with me if you've been with me for quite a while, but I'm Rav, of course. I reside in Australia. I followed the club for about 30 years. I'm largely a stay-at-home dad now, so I do have pockets of time. I'm blessed with pockets of time during the week. I live, breathe Arsenal anyway, so I thought may as well just start up a podcast. My wife had the idea about 12 months ago because I'm always talking, chatting, thinking about football, thinking about Arsenal. There are so many times where she sees me, even at nighttime when I'm like loading up the dishwasher or something, I'm shaking my head or whatnot. She knows where my mind is. She knows I'm drifting off thinking about a goal Arsenal conceded or a match or a red card or an injury. She just knows. So they've been really supportive just for me to start up and launch up a little podcast. And almost 12 months later, here I am. So if you are watching on YouTube, if you could kindly like and subscribe, please hype the show as well. I'm learning more and more about that. That has a huge boost for engagement and visibility. If you please hype the episode. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, please leave me a 5-star review. Follow the show, leave me any comments or feedback. I'm happy to answer everything. Thank you so much. If you could please indulge me for a moment in the past when I've spoken about things such as the visit Rwanda sponsorship, the genocides taking place in Sudan, Gaza, and the events that have taken place just now in Sydney. I mean, just absolutely none of it is okay. None of it is acceptable. It deeply impacts me as a human being, and just as a human race, we need to do better, and we should be striving to do better. It's funny because I was looking at my analytics just the other day, and for the first time ever in the history of this podcast, I reached 6 out of the 7 continents of listeners, which is enormous for me. It's a small little milestone, but quite meaningful for me that I've got listeners from all parts of the globe. And if you're watching on YouTube, as you can see by my appearance, I am of Indian origin. I was born in India. I've been Australian raised. I've been in Australia since I was 3. And here I am talking about Arsenal, a London-based club on the other side of the world. So Indian-born, Australian-raised, and I absolutely love the club all the way over in London, in Arsenal. And it just encapsulates that we are one people. We are one planet from all walks of life, all across the planet. We should just be united. We should just be doing better as a human race. And it really, really has has impacted me. It's been very distressing for all of us. Yes, thank you for indulging me. I just wanted to pass on my respects for a very difficult time for many people. So from that very somber note to now getting back on topic of today's podcast, I guess I will have to start with a reflection of the Wolves match. For those of you who listened to my recording after Wolves, you would note I recorded literally straight after the match. So I didn't really hang around much for any post-match reaction or analysts. I just came in and gave my raw thoughts. And it's been very insightful for me over the last few days to listen to the much bigger and the much, much better podcasters, of course, the much better content creators. And it seems that we shared similar views in that depending on which angle you want to look at. Yes, you can extract some headlines that, you know, Arsenal found a way, that we dug in, we showed resilience, and this is what great teams do, championship winning teams do, to pull a win out of nowhere and still get the result despite not playing well. And I think there's definitely an element of that. However, what was a common through line through what I felt and what I'd heard is that it was such an off-kilter experience for Arsenal currently. It's been so long since we've seen Arsenal drop, and I say that with absolute respect to Wolves, to see us drop our standards so much across the board. Sure, you're going to have moments in every single match. You can't dominate from the first minute to the 90th or the 95th with injury time. Of course, there's going to be swings. There's going to be lulls. Opposition is going to get momentum. Absolutely. However, across 60, 70 minutes of that match, really, Arsenal were quite well off. And it was very unusual. And I know I'm contradicting myself because I said I never wanted to talk about that match again, but you have to reference it in the respect that it was so odd from what we've seen. There's a level of professionalism from Arsenal in the last few seasons. I think we all know what I'm referring to, right? We see it described in many different ways about energy, about what we transmit, about standards, the discipline involved, and in so many respects, we have advanced so far from a performance like that. That used to be a thing of Arsenal in recent seasons, maybe in the last sort of 4, 5, 6 years, and we've been progressively eliminating that type of performance out of our system, so to speak. But for that match, for it to be a home match against the bottom place team with what was a very strong lineup, but probably the strongest lineup we've been able to field in quite some time, given the volume of injuries and even on the bench. Look at it was the last time we had that array of options to look at on the bench. I can't recall off the top of my head. So all things being equal, it was just a very unusual performance. And what I really liked, going back to the opening, what I said about this, what I really liked is when I came back and just checked back in on some of the post-match stuff or some clips I'd seen doing the rounds in the next day or two, what I really loved is just there was a level of acknowledgement from Arsenal that the players knew that was not good enough. They absolutely knew. I've heard Declan Rice mentioned a number of times here, and even in the way he was, like when the players were celebrating the goal, as it turned out to be an own goal, the winning goal, as it turned out, that he was sort of kind of shaking his head, you know, almost just trying to get everyone back on track, saying, look, we got lucky. Don't let it slip now. Just see this through, right? Just get the result now. And even post-match, saw the relief on some players' faces. You saw exasperated looks and a few quiet shakes of the head amongst each other. Like, this is what I really, really liked, that they know that was not the level required. We cannot replicate performances like that and expect to be lifting that Premier League trophy at the end of the season. We absolutely cannot. I don't think there's any shying away from that. And what was really pleasing is that the players know it. Arteta was furious after the match. He just looked really, really angry. And it's always very raw for players, managers to have a microphone put right in front of them afterwards. And he's got to obviously still say all the right things. And he was very humble as well. He gave credit to the opposition, to Wolves, because whatever their game plan was, it was certainly effective that they were doing it. And it almost came off for them. So inside that, you can see he was simmering. He was very, very disappointed by what we've seen. And I imagine that there was some direct words spoken in the changing room, in the dressing room, between the players and from Arteta themselves. And now that we've got a week off, finally, I wonder if a lot of that performance you can put down to just the level of fatigue There's physical fatigue, of course, and there's mental fatigue. Like, we have been just non-stop for so many weeks now. I know it's the same for all clubs. This is not just Arsenal specific, but the bigger teams that are going deeper in competition, such as the Carabao Cup, the EFL Cup matches have been taking place midweek this week. Arsenal playing next week against Crystal Palace, of course. So it just turns out that we've got the week off here, but come Saturday night, Sunday morning, it's going to be on like Donkey Kong again. We've got that really short turnaround between Everton and Crystal Palace, as we all know. From a few weeks ago, there was quite the back and forth in terms of rescheduling that match. And it's just the nature of football that it's just going to be unrelenting again. Basically until after the New Year's, you take these opportunities as best you can I think Arteta said that the players get 2 days off. I mean, when was the last time they had 2 days off? Sometimes there's 2.5-3 days before you have to play again. And much of that is put down to travel, rest, recuperation, reactive recovery at the club. And it's just nonstop. So to have a week off now is a real benefit to the team. And I think they need it. I think this is a tired Arsenal team that when you just step back and look at what we've been able to achieve so far in the Champions League and the Premier League, it really is remarkable with the volume of injuries we've had and the schedule. The schedule itself doesn't really get as much credit as I feel it deserves. You look at the amount of away fixtures that we've ticked off already. We've been to Old Trafford, been to Anfield, been to St. James's Park, been to Stamford Bridge, Villa away. It was a very tough way to lose right at the end, wasn't it? And as much as it stings, at least we can know within ourselves, within the club, that we are coming out of that really, really tough schedule in terms of the number of away matches we've ticked off. It will open up for us. Now, of course, this is without taking anything for granted. No team is just a guaranteed 3 points. You have to go out there and earn it every single time. Applying all of those disclaimers, it will open up for Arsenal. We should be able to go on a bit of a run now. I'm touch wood as I say this. I don't want to jinx anything. But you look at the next 4 to 5, 6 matches, there's an incredible opportunity here for Arsenal. Just, I know it's only a 2-point gap now on Manchester City. They play before us on the weekend, so there's every chance by the time we play our match at they've taken top spot, albeit we should make sure it's temporary. We should go in there and get the job done against Everton and go on a little run now. And perhaps come early mid-January, maybe we've created a bit of distance at the top of the Premier League. That'll be brilliant, wouldn't it? I don't want to look too far ahead. But the point is that I think there's an understanding within the club that players need to come back. Players will be returning. They're on the horizon. The problem is we get a few players back, more go down to injury, but we need them back. We need them fresh. We need them fit because we can go on a run here and just really produce an excellent spell of momentum, get back on to winning ways. It's been a while since we won away as well. That's probably a nagging feeling that's bothered a few at the club, and especially Arteta. So we've got a great opportunity here in the next few weeks. And speaking of injuries, it has since emerged that Ben White's injury is, as we suspected, it was a hamstring injury. It looks like he's going to be out for a month is what's been reported. And look, none of that surprises me. It looked bad happening live. Had all the hallmarks of a muscle, either thigh strain or hamstring strain. When you're sprinting back like that, and look, questions have to be asked. Why were we so open to begin with? Whatever setup there was on that counterattack, it was really bizarre watching us, watching Huang basically run almost the length of the field and to not have anyone positioned there. I've already mentioned before how many unusual elements there were to that performance, and this is another example. How many times we see Raya, his position high to sweep those up, or we have a defender stationed there, one or two defenders stationed there for that very situation, just to nip out a counterattack before it even starts. Unfortunately, it was very similar to how Gabriel did his hamstring almost a year ago against Crystal Palace. chasing back like that when they're at full sprint, full tilt. These things can happen. Look, big question marks as well. I mean, I've already mentioned this, but I'll make a quick reference to it again. You have to question, why did White play to begin with? I know Arsenal have had some awful, awful injury luck, and that's been really unfortunate. There's been things that have happened that you just cannot plan for or mitigate for. Just, you know, innocuous moments such as the way Mosquera lands and ends up being an ankle sprain or ligament damage, and he's out for 8 weeks. I mean, it's happened with Gyökeres when he came into form against Burnley. Then at halftime, there's a knee injury that keeps him out for 6 to 8 weeks. Madueke as well, just as he hit a fantastic patch of form and momentum, he comes off as well, and it's another 8 week. And it's just, there's so many examples of this. So it's just unlucky. I don't think you can class this Ben White injury as unlucky, though. It's just been something that I've been talking a lot about lately as well. You've got to manage the minutes. I think there's a strong correlation as well between the volume of injuries we receive, we experience at fullback positions, given what they're asked to do. It's a highly specialized role. They cover a lot of distance. There's a number of sprints involved up and down the touchline. It's a very active, a very high load type of role for any defender to do, and it has a relationship with the amount of injuries that we receive at fullback. And with White's situation, he had such a difficult run in the last 12-18 months. For him to then make his fourth start in what, 11 or 12 days, when you had Lewis Skelly on the bench, you had the option to play Timber at right back and Lewis Skelly left back. I don't know. It's all hindsight, isn't it? So they obviously have all the available information, all the data, and maybe, you know, we're not privy to a lot of it. Maybe Timber wasn't fit enough to do right back. Maybe he needed to be as a centre half, you know, to avoid the very thing that got White injured. You know, if Timber started there, maybe that would have been him who experienced that injury. So you never know. It's a toss of the coin. It's luck of the draw, sure. However, it's a blow, and it was kind of preventable. That's the nagging feeling that I've got from all this, watching it unfold, and the fact that he's going to be out for a month. Look, I'd be surprised if it is that. I'd be very pleasantly surprised, trust me. But when you factor in his recent injuries as well, you got to take every precaution, every care with him to get his fitness back up. If it ends up being 5-6 weeks, something like that, that wouldn't necessarily surprise me either. So very unfortunate, very untimely news. Given that we're still waiting for Gabriel to return, I think he's on track for the end of the year, perhaps, along with Havertz. Mosquera is probably a little bit after that, maybe into early January. And it just what it leaves us with. It leaves us with very little room for further defensive injuries. It's great on paper that we have such a defensive lineup, and it's never been as strong as it is at the moment. We've got 8 genuine options across all 4 positions. It's a fantastic squad on paper, but the cascade effect, I think we all know what I'm referring to, the cluster effect of injuries, then it increases the load on someone else. And, the downstream effects can come back to bite you severely. And that's probably why White has had such a difficult 2 years, unfortunately. He was amazing for so long. He was an absolute warrior, I've heard Arteta describe him as. But then when we had the recurring injuries to Tomiyasu and then the Timber ACL, like, we had no other real option at the time but to continue to play Ben White into the ground. And unfortunately, you know, it comes back to bite you. We are very, very light on for options in the defense. I imagine, might as well talk about the EFL Cup at the moment anyway, because this dovetails nicely. I imagine that match next week against Crystal Palace, just as many of them as we can take out of the firing line, we have to do it. That means we see Norgaard again in defense as a center half. I just think you have to do it. Marley Salmon as well, 16-year-old, featured. He came off the bench in the Champions League, an amazing moment for him. From what I understand, very highly rated either as a centre-half or a right-back. In fact, he did come on for right-back to relieve Ben White late on in that match last week. So is he in line for a start? Look, I'm not sure. Are you ready to start a 16-year-old in a match of that stature? If there was ever a time, it's then. But can he take 30, 40 minutes from someone as well? I mean, these are the options we need to look at. Look, for me, I know everyone's mileage varies on what's the word I'm looking for. I'm not trying to come across as too elitist and scoff at any chance of winning a trophy, and it'll be great to win the EFL Cup, sure. However, I know some people flat out say, just can it, play all the kids, and the sooner we're out, the better. I'm not quite in that camp. I'm very much in the field of, if everything is going right, it's a nice bonus to have. It's a nice cherry on top, so to speak. For me, the league and the Champions League is the absolute priority. I'm not sure, with the amount of injuries we have, that we have the capability to challenge on four fronts, especially come January. You've got two semi-finals. We've been drawn with, the winner of Arsenal Crystal Palace will be drawn with Chelsea in a two-legged semi-final in January. The sound of that, right? It doesn't fill me with good feelings. That's my initial reaction. You saw the nature of Chelsea's approach, what was effectively their grand final, as it's been proven to be, right? That was so up for that game, and they've really fallen away since. That Caicedo moment of madness has really cost them since. So, right, you know, they've been pegged down a few notches since then. But, you know, like, do we want 180 minutes of that in January with the amount of injuries we've already suffered? My mind always goes back to January this year, January 2025. Havertz, even when we're 4-0 down on aggregate against Newcastle, he's thrown himself into every challenge, right, in the 70th, 75th, 80th minute. In that second leg, I'm looking at his screen saying, get him off. Like, was it any wonder that just a few days later when the club went to Dubai, that he tore his hamstring off the bone, and he hasn't played since? That was a devastating injury for him and the club at the time. So if not managed correctly, if circumstances go against you, those extra fixtures in January, and in addition to the FA Cup, of course, that was very detrimental to Arsenal. We played 120 minutes against United, lost on penalties, lost Jesus with an ACL. It was a very costly January for Arsenal. That effectively, in the end, as it turned out, that derailed our season. And as tried as we might, as gallant as we were, we weren't able to recover from that. So for me, if Crystal Palace have a fantastic match next week and they earn the win on merit and we exit and we have no injuries, but we've played some young kids and got them match sharpened and, you know, ready for the first team for the remaining fixtures, I wouldn't be complaining. I'll just say it that way. I wouldn't be complaining. I don't want to actively go into any match, you know, to throw it or lose it. Not at all. That's not in the fabric of the club. That's not in the mentality of Arsenal. Not at all. However, if we were to exit this competition, given all available information, all circumstances known, the amount of injuries we continue to suffer and waiting for players to return, I wouldn't be too bothered if we exited. I'll put it that way. Please let me know, though. Do you agree? Should we prioritize? Should we not? How do you feel about how we should approach that match? Please do let me know. I'll be very grateful for any insights and feedback. Just hear what you have to think. Okay, so the last few topics before I sign this one out, I'm noticing the running clock. I'm talking for longer than what I anticipated, but on to Everton. This is a massive, massive match. Absolutely huge. Away under lights. I was about to say Goodison Park again. I know it's the new stadium. Hill Dickinson Stadium, I believe it's called, but I'm always going to call it Goodison, right? That's you can just blame me on that one. I'm a bit slow with the times to adjust. But we've had some pretty poor results in the last few seasons going away to Everton. So maybe the new stadium gives us a chance to write a new chapter here. There's always that Arteta element as well. It's a huge week for Arteta. It really is. He does have his, as amazing as he has been, he does have a few of his sort of bogey grounds and bogey teams. Up against Moyes is always one of them. You know, like, he has such a special relationship with David Moyes as he does with Pep. You know, sometimes you just can't help but feel, does that get to his head? Is he getting too distracted by that sort of thing? In years gone by, you can question some of the tactics, some of the lineups. You know, is he overthinking this? Is he getting too overcomplicated? Have we made this more difficult for ourselves and we need to? I remember there was that experience he had a decade or so ago at Anfield, and we saw it on the Amazon documentary. Like, the way he prepared Arsenal that season for it was very questionable. You know, we had them training with all the speakers around the ground with You Never Walk Alone, bled out at full blast. And it's just, you know, every now and then you can't help but feel that. Is he making more of it than what it is? I don't quite know. But this is a much, much more mature, advanced version of Arteta now, this current iteration of Arteta. So I really do think it's a big week for him. It'll be great to just go there and win, because it's been a while since we've gone to Everton and put in a comprehensive performance and won and got the 3 points. I mean, Dyche has had success against Arsenal as well. He's been another bogey manager, bogey team, whether coming to the Emirates or going away. So it's a great opportunity here. Great opportunity for Arsenal to go there and just win it. So I'll have a crack now at a predicted lineup for this match. The return of Calafiori is a big boost for the squad, especially with the number of defensive injuries. So having him available is great. I imagine he comes straight back in at left back. Hincapié and Saliba to partner each other again, barring any injury or setback that's happened on the training pitch. We don't know as yet. But Timber at right back, I imagine it's a much stronger back four. It's effectively, aside from Gabriel, it's basically our best back four available that we've seen this season so far. So midfield, I think the week off for Declan Rice would have been huge. Zubimendi had his minutes managed last week as well. So I think it's the two of them with Odegaard in front. Question being, who starts on the left? Is Trossard ready or not? I'm really hoping so. Trossard has been exceptional this season, and he's really made that starting left wing position his own. So I'm hoping it's Trossard and Saka as the wingers. Interesting decision to make at centre forward. Do you start Jokeres on this one, or do you go back to Mikel Merino? I think you can mount an argument either way for any of them. I imagine in a match of this stature, though, I think he will lean towards Jokeres. Because it's their home match as well, and they've enjoyed a lot of success against Arsenal playing their game. So maybe there's some space for Jokeres to occupy. Maybe he can get in behind. It's not really something we see or we've been able to exploit recently. That is my that's my predicted lineup. I imagine on the bench, if the game is not going our way, we're going to have some game changes there. I've already mentioned Marino, Martinelli, Madueke. Like, we've got the options there. Gabriel Jesus as well, I should have mentioned. Is he in contention for the starting centre forward? Maybe Arteta thinks, yep, now's your time, because he's played a fair bit of minutes lately. There was a couple of internal matches, under 21 matches as well. I'm not sure if he came through 90 minutes of them, but he's been progressively stepping up his load, his minutes in a couple of substitute appearances for Arsenal too. And he's looked lively. He's looked sharp. That's the thing. Like, this guy has a point to prove. You can see he's got unfinished business. He loves playing football. And he was very involved, very active. Just from the moment he steps out on the pitch, receiving the ball well, linking up play. He keeps you guessing as a defensive unit. Is he going to go left? Is he going to go right? Because he's had a wealth of experience playing on either flank. So he's very comfortable in either of those positions. So maybe it's time for Gabriel Jesus too. I don't know. We shall see. I really think overall, though, it will be great for the club to go there and win, get that feel-good factor back, set our season back on track, go there away with 3 points on the road. It changes the whole dynamics. So I will be back online very soon after the final whistle. It's a Sunday morning match here again. I will aim to record an instant reaction soon after the match. So please keep your eyes and ears peeled on that one. And I'll speak to you all then. I'll just sign off by saying once again, thank you for all your support and feedback. Thank you for watching and continuing to persist and putting up with and indulging me in a difficult opening for this podcast. I mean, it just had to be said. So thank you for bearing with me for that. So until then, look after yourselves, stay well, check in with your loved ones. I will talk to you right after the Arsenal-Everton match to hopefully be glowing about a resounding Arsenal victory. Until then, I'll speak to you all soon, and come on, Arsenal.